Nothing beats the summer of cricket. The tension, the drama, the buzz, and other cliches. But this summer, Triple M takes Test cricket down a new path. The path of FM radio. To say we're excited at the M's is an understatement.
There's plenty of movement from middle stuff.
Now, live from Cricket HQ with the Triple MCG. Wearing the bone, the cream, the beige, the ivory is a dip of the hat to the greats. Triple M rocks Test cricket.
Yeah, very nice to have your company, as I say, around Australia, wherever you are around the world, listening to Triple M rock Test cricket, of course. Day two of this inaugural and history-making day-night Test match. Pink ball at the Gabba, Australia playing Pakistan yesterday. Australia won the toss, elected to bat. 3 for 288, the result at stumps. A very, very good day if you're a fan of the Australian cricket team. And Steve Smith, their captain, supreme on 110 not out. Hanscom doing a very good job in support of him, 64 not out. The young boy Renshaw, the first time he'd played in front of his home crowd, 71 very good. Warner 32 and Khawaja 4. And a mixed bag for the Pakistan bowlers. So we are set up for a very interesting first couple of sessions of this. It's the second day. If Australia can push on past 400 and then get that second new ball under lights, look out. Let's welcome some of the greats of the game. Brett Lee joins us, first of all, as does Kerry O'Keefe, two of New South Wales' finest. Hello, boys.
G'day, Jim.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Had a ball yesterday. It was good, wasn't it?
Oh, it was fun. And it was fun to watch Australia doing well. Not that there's any bias in this commentary box, but they won the day conclusively. The last hour, they needed wickets, Pakistan. Just couldn't get it. Smith and Hanscom were terrific in the final hour. I had a bit of luck, of course. But, you know, they really sealed the day for Australia. 450 will be safe. Australia will look for that today and to be bowling in the evening. They hold all the strong cards.
To Mick Molloy in just a sec, but let's have a listen to the highlights of day one.
Here we go. Amir with the opening ball of the test, straight outside of stump. Outside edge, squirted away. Renshaw, Australia, they're underway. Davey Warner gets set. Straight away off the middle of the bat. One ball, one boundary.
Amir to resume and...
Wow-wee! Only the bowler interested, but the umpire's finger's gone up and Warner's tucked the bat under his arm.
That's four. Khawaja away to find leg. Comes down and that's gone! Oh.
Straight to the fieldsman, a short mid-wicket.
He works it in that area and that's a magnificent 50 for the local lad, Renshaw. Smith straight down the ground. Bang. That is the shot of the day.
Good lad. Thinks that he's gone! Through to the keeper, Renshaw.
The skipper needs a single for another Test match 50. And he gets it.
Ball cut away for the boundary for four. Hanscom does the trick. Again, he comes in. He gets pulled this time. Two men back and a lot of work for fine leg.
And
there's a misfield.
And he's gone down
as well. So he's rolling around. He's tweaked the knee, I think. This is serious.
Yes, to Smith, who drives straight down the ground. This time it's away on the offside. And it's a second consecutive boundary for the skipper. Good-looking shot away through the offside by Hanscom. Brings up a 50, moves to 51, the young Victorian.
Ball delivery, yes! And that's driven down the ground. Bang. And he bows his head, Steve Smith, as he's managed to get it through. It's been confident, it's been assured. A real captain's knock.
It's day one, and as Kerry O'Keefe said, all the points to Australia. Just to lose three wickets in a day's batting is good enough, and to get around 300 and have their best player on 110 not out to resume today in the best batting conditions. All nice. Now, Mick Molloy.
Hello.
Welcome to you.
Thanks for having me. Let's be honest, I was up here for school this week anyway.
It
didn't take much of an effort to swing by the Gabba and watch some quality Test cricket.
I think it's fair to say that you and I are quite lucky to be alive.
Well, we had one of the most interesting cab drives home last night I have ever seen. Now, the young man next to me, Binger, Brett Lee, describe what happened. We were high and dry, were we not, on the side of the road. We couldn't get a cab. Brett Lee's walked over, weaved his magic. And who have we got? We've got an Indian cab driver who recognised you immediately, took us in, and then proceeded to drive.
This is a taken cab, by the way, Skull. So this cab is someone else.
No.
Bing's ejected him out.
Oh, come on.
You've commandeered it. And this bloke has driven us in what I call the Mumbai style, which is no rules apply, as we barrel back to our hotel. Lucky to be here. While he was taking video footage of you.
It was.
While he was driving.
And selfies.
I've never seen a guy guy that excited to see anyone? Is that an unusual experience for you?
Somewhat. I've never seen a guy or a driver go around the roundabout twice to try and get a selfie for the right sort of lighting. But it was a lot of fun. We got there safe.
Scully had his arm a metre out of the car taking selfies inside his own driver's side window of him and being in the passenger seat.
I saw this once at the London Tavern in Melbourne, and the Vics were having their end-of-season drinks. And Shane Warne turned up.
Yep.
And one Indian cab driver came in because he was looking for a customer. Anyways, clocked Shane Warne, and I guarantee you, within 10 minutes, there were 100 Indian cab drivers in the London Tavern. All, and they couldn't have been happier. They were like kids in a candy shop. So
the thing was,
we are lucky to be here.
Yeah. Things started as an animal handler in Babe, but he graduated to the starring role in An Indian.
Yes.
I've seen An Indian.
You have seen it?
I have.
How many stars? Kerry?
Paish from the Sydney Morning Herald gave it half a star.
Half a star?
But he's a known hard marker.
It was out of two, though.
Yeah.
That's all right.
But Bing was outstanding, I got to say. And I went to a seniors Tuesday morning session at Burwood.
Did you?
There was me and 50
edge,
Indians.
That's it.
And I sat there with my raincoat and 49 Indians just laughed at every syllable being a mention. Every time he opened his mouth, I went, he's such a funny man.
How are you?
And I thought, that wasn't funny, but I wasn't game to say it because it had bashed me up.
How were you on set? Did you enjoy? Were you throwing your weight around? Were people allowed to look you in the eyes? Were you one of those Tom Cruise types where no eye contact on set?
I arrived there the first day and they had the full on, all the trucks, and I've thought to myself, far out, this is serious. What have I got myself into? And the producer, director, who's an absolute legend of the industry, I was jokingly around and asked him, I said, where's my trailer? He goes, over there. I said, no way. I said, I refuse to go on the trailer. I can't do that. But after two or three days of being on set, I was in that trailer. It was a lot of fun.
Oh, mate.
India ever planned to put a Formula One driver up, but if they do, that bloke's the one.
The cab driver from last night.
He went from naught to 100 to naught as quick as any man I've ever seen behind the wheel of. He didn't give a stuff
he
about anyone.
Do it. No. He was on fire.
Yep. Oh, now listen, Narrowly Meadows has done a magnificent job already for Triple M Cricket, drifting down on the boundary, and she managed, I think last night, to have a quick chat for Nearmap, of course, Australia's leading provider of aerial imagery and location content, with the coach of the Pakistan cricket team, Mickey Arthur.
Well, Mickey, thanks for joining us. After day one, what do you hope to improve upon on day two?
Oh, there's a number of facets, Nearly. I think the most important thing is our comeback spells. We need to come back with a bit of intensity. We need to control the rate just a little bit more. And I felt yesterday was a good return, really. Well, we did control the rate for a period of time, but didn't control the rate enough to create opportunities. So a little bit disappointed with that. But we've got a newest ball this morning, and we've got another opportunity to have a go at them.
Obviously, Steve Smith, he was dropped on 53, I think it was, and then you had him on 97, but no appeal, a wry smile on your face. You must be frustrated with that one.
Yeah, I was more disappointed with the drop because, you know, we'd worked so hard to create that opportunity, as I said earlier. And then, you know, on 97, well, nobody heard it. I think there was such a noise in the ground. Nobody, so it was disappointing to see that he had actually nicked it.
Were you relieved that Mohammad Amir wasn't a serious injury? Because we were all fearing the worst for a second there.
No, very relieved. I mean, he's got a little bit of bruising, but nothing serious. So at least he could come out and bowl again.
Just finally, you're still in this?
Oh, without a doubt. I'll be reminding them about the whacker after day one and against South Africa. And we've got an opportunity. You know, and the key for us is we need to control, as I say, control the rate is a buzzword, certainly with me at the moment, because we have periods where we just let the game blow out and then the opposition gets away from you. So if we can control the rate, that'll give us opportunities. If we take those opportunities and bat well in the first innings, we're still very much in it.
You said it was a surreal feeling ahead of day one. You seem to be really enjoying yourself now. Mickey, thanks for your time.
Pleasure, Nearly.
Thanks, Nez. Mickey Arthur for Nearmap. I tell you what, if they're bringing intensity, Skull, to the first session, they'd want to lift it from their warm-up. Because we've been parked up here watching the Pakistan team warm-up, and that is as unintense a 20 minutes of preparing for a day's cricket as I reckon I've ever seen.
And it's always been the way with Pakistan cricket. Yep. They'd leave it till the starting ball. But even then, there was no energy yesterday.
No, there wasn't,
Jim,
was there?
And you'd think they were going to play 150 test matches a year and this was just another day. You've got three in Australia. Energy levels have to be through the roof first morning of a test.
And what amazes me Brett Lee, is they then get the second new ball and it then starts just moving around a bit, and suddenly you're looking at a completely different cricket team. So if you're Misbah and if you're Mickey Arthur, you're getting him in the rooms afterwards surely and saying, boys, where was that when it mattered at 101?
I think there's two reasons. One is because they bowled that perfect length. They bowled a lot fuller. They were way too short in the first probably 2 or 3 hours. But when they got that second new ball, they pitched it up, a little bit of seam off the wicket, a little bit of swing. But also, too, bowling under lights, it just feels a lot different. You're running in, the sun's not beaming down your back. I think the warm-ups, I reckon they're very cagey. I like it. I reckon warm-ups are overrated. You warm up, yeah. You go and sit down for half an hour. So I think they've done the right thing.
Okay. All right. Well, it's great to have Kerry O'Keefe on board, of course, for Triple M Cricket. And we heard just a snippet as we go to the break of what the great man's going to provide us throughout the summer.
I went to a Mackay nightclub with Viv Richards, and I walked in, I was $1,001.
What was Viv, unbackable?
Oh, yeah. $1.02. And after about an hour, I was there just beering away, and a girl came up, an absolute goddess came up and said, Kerry, my name's Yvonne. I went, $1,001 into $22.
I'm getting uncomfortable because Yvonne is my mum's name. Better get time up in Queensland.
And then Yvonne said to me, could you do me a huge favour? And I said, yeah. She said, could you introduce me to Viv? So I went from $22 back to $1,000.
If you throw,
and they marched off into the night.
Good night, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go.
Introducing you, Ishigua, for the first time. Nice to see you. Now, before we do, this is a lady who took 148 wickets for England, Skull.
Yes.
In her very, very good test, one-day international and T20 career. How are you, Ish?
I'm very well, thanks, JB.
Did you enjoy yesterday? It was,
I loved yesterday.
It was a fascinating day's test.
It was so much fun just to be here at the Gabba, to be able to talk about the cricket and to be here with you guys as well, with all the banter that we had. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And also an introduction today with an English band.
Yes.
A bit Kasabian.
Are they out here today?
No.
When we came on air.
When you came
Sorry,
on
I thought
air.
They'd actually snaffled it to be part of the entertainment at the ground today.
That would be even better.
Would be absolutely brilliant. Hey,
I just quickly tell you the best halftime entertainment I ever saw, the best lunchtime entertainment I ever saw of the cricket was actually at the Centenary Test at the MCG. It was 1977, I think it was. Was it the year?
Yes.
And I think it was day three. And at lunch, they go, well, we've got some entertainment for you. And onto the ground comes Mother Goose, on the back of a truck. They do one lap of the oval singing Old Baked Beans,
yes,
and then just disappear. And I went, that is brilliant. If we ever get the Olympics back, that's opening ceremony material right there.
Do you remember that as a player in the game?
I played in that game.
Yeah.
And there were 65,000 there, and they cheered, didn't they?
That went berserk.
I know, it was amazing.
Wouldn't have been AC/DC, Long Way to the Top, just Mother Goose.
Mother Goose, yep. Baked Beans. Yeah. A lap of the oval and out.
With 60,000 going nuts.
You opened the batting the second innings
I
of
did.
That game.
Yeah,
Rick McCosker broke his jaw.
He broke his jaw. And
correct, yeah.
It was line ball. I was nine, and batting nine. Either me or Rick, who was on life support at the time.
Yep.
And they actually went for me against all the odds.
It was still a line ball decision.
And it was pretty but he recovered.
It was pretty hot in the kitchen too. You copped a bit of a peppering, yeah. I remember.
Oh, I did, yeah. But, you know, you do it for country.
Yes, bloody
oath. And, it was one of my great... I mean, I played 24 tests, as you know, Jim, but I'm mainly remembered for opening the batting.
Yep. So. And dismissing Derek Randall after he made 170 in the second
Derek.
Inning.
I did, and he walked a bat pad. Gary Cozier was my bat pad for the first time ever, and he was a reluctant bat pad, it has to be said. And I asked him once to move in to stop, to stop the single. At short leg. But he caught Derek Randall, who walked on 174 with the game there to be won England. And Tony Gregg was my next victim in that second innings. He drove it into his pad, and Cozier held on that short mid-wicket. And he stood there and wanted to be given out, which he was, by the Australian umpire.
Hey, Nerilee, we've already heard from with the chat last night with Mickey Arthur, but she's down on the boundary now. We need to get to her because they're about to get ejected off the ground, I think, which is a surprise given who you're standing down there with, Nez.
With one of the great entertainers, and it is my absolute pleasure to welcome him to the Triple M Sport team, and that is Merv Hughes. Merv, you must be happy to be part of the team, surely.
Oh, mate, overwhelming. Very excited. So when I got asked a while ago, just been counting down the nights. It's most people have been counting down to Christmas. I've been counting down to this day, and unfortunately I missed yesterday. I had a bit of work to do in Melbourne, but up here now and listening to the broadcast yesterday was absolutely fantastic.
Now, there's obviously lots of new faces in the Aussie team as well. We've seen Nick Maddison walk past with a big relaxed smile on his face, and now Matt Renshaw just went past. Are you pleased to see this young group doing so well?
Yeah, they've come in and done well, haven't they? Renshaw did really well in Adelaide in the second innings, and even in the first innings under pressure where South Africa declared, and no one was really expecting it. Davey Warner couldn't open, and he went out and just looked comfortable. And then to come to the Gabba, there would have been that internal pressure, and to peel off a 70-odd yesterday was fantastic. But the influx of young players, Pete Hampkins come back into the side, and you know the bowling attack's still young. So going forward or moving forward, Australia are pretty well set up for the next 10 years.
As cricket fans these days, have we worked out the pink ball yet? Because I think we all expected wickets to tumble late last night, and none did.
Well, it was an interesting one, wasn't it? Win the toss. It was a green wicket. There was talk that they're going to play the four fast bowlers. They went with line. They won the toss. Australia elected to bat. And then we got to tea, and everything was about the sun going down, the lights taking over, the humidity up here in Queensland, in Brisbane at the Gabba, and none for 110 runs scored. So I reckon it's also the calibre of the batsman. Smith is, we know, a dynamic batsman. Hanscom's finding his way, but he's been very good in first-class cricket. And of the Pakistani attack, their fielding wasn't great, but I reckon their bowling was just a tad short and they didn't get that length right.
So what happens today?
What happens today? Big first hour. If Australia can get through that first hour, they'll set the game up. 288. You just think, in today's terms, it's a little bit shy, but three wickets down. Two set batsmen, if they can get through that first hour, really send a foundation for Australia. It's going to be Pakistan a long way behind the game.
Merv Hughes, we are very much looking forward to having you commentate throughout this test. Thanks for joining us.
Looking forward to it, Natalie. Thank you.
Big man, there are lots of stairs between where you are and this commentary box. Are you ready for it?
Mate, I've been up there this morning. I've just asked the producer to have some oxygen up there when I get up there, please.
I did get told on the way here I got stopped. Narrowly. Jeez, you've got the best security guard going around, don't you?
Well, I can't believe they could get ejected off a test playing arena, Kerry. Merv Hughes, it should be access all areas for the rest of his life.
Oh, mate, it's great to have the big guy on board, isn't it?
We'll be hearing from him. Brad Haddin, who we had yesterday and did a fantastic job, has had to go back to play, of course, to Sydney. So we've ejected him out of the coverage for a day, and he's been ably replaced by Merv Hughes. All right.
I'm here at the Aussie National Hotel with the co-founder of the Richies, Michael Hennessy. What's the collective noun for a group of Bennos?
Oh, it's a marvel of Richies.
A marvel of Richies. And how many have you got here today?
222 here at the Gabba today.
Do you have a favourite Richie Benno quote, Michael?
Oh, I do love one when he's talking about when Glenn McGrath was batting, and he's like, Glenn McGrath's moved on to two, just 98 runs short of his test century.
I like when you get hit in the private parts, you want the pain to go away quickly, but not the swelling. One of his best.
Triple M rocks test cricket.
Julian Schiller there with the Richies over at the National Hotel. Jules, of course, you would have seen on the back page on Fox a lot of stuff with Merrick in the National Drive show last year. The Greenfield Postie gets involved in as well, and a big part of Triple M's test cricket coverage. All right, got Ishigua here and also Kerry O'Keefe, Mick Molloy. What
present.
Are we expecting for this next hour to 2 hours of the first session today?
Steve Smith, Peter Hanscom, they're just going to bat, get themselves back in again. It's a lovely deck out there. It'll probably be a bit quicker as well. The Pakistanis, well, they need to bowl a little bit fuller. They've still got this new ball, which they used last night. Interesting, it was a wicketless session last night, and the two Australians played beautifully. It was interesting to hear Mickey Arthur talk to Nerali Meadows there and talk about run rate control. Yep. Which is what we saw yesterday with Yasir Shah bowling to quite a defensive field. I think they need to be a little bit more attacking in the use of Yasir Shah. I don't know what you guys think.
Oh, I totally agree. And I also think the quicks have to have an extra slip. They've got to get wickets to stay in this game. If they set defensive fields, Australia will get 450 easily. Mm.
They've got to bowl Australia out for 350, 370.
Yeah, I always worry when I hear about teams trying to control run rate rather than take wickets in a test match. That's going about it the wrong way, I would have thought.
Is Mickey Arthur the least popular South African in this country in its history? Can you name anyone who might possibly... Oscar Pistorius, maybe.
I think Oscar Pistorius wins that one.
Beyond that, there is an abiding dislike of that man.
I think when Bismarck du Plessis was absolutely smashing hell out of our front pack in the Wallaby Springbok test matches, there might have been a bit of hatred for Bismarck as well,
fair call.
Even if he carries one of the great names of Mindscull.
Outstanding name, but yeah, poor Mickey Arthur. He accepted a gig. In hindsight, maybe he shouldn't have.
It backfired on him.
An entertaining session. Triple M rocking test cricket. Mark Howard with you. 7 for 377, the Australians. Wickets fell. Peter Hanscom brought up 100. He's 103, not out. Josh Hazlewood, he's 8, not out. For the stats on that session and the 100 by Pete Hanscom, let's go to our stats guru, Ash the Chew Man Chew. What have you got, baby?
Yeah, thanks, Howie. The first session saw Australia finish with a scorecard, 4 for 89. The Pakis' early stages in that first session dropped 2 catches inside a 3-over block. But the man of the moment, Peter Hanscom, Howie, 103 runs from 230 balls, 10 fours, and has hit a 6 as well, which is the only 6 in the innings to date, Howie.
Well done. And the pick of the bowlers there, Riaz, started to get a bit of fire and brimstone about him. He has 3 for 66, a mere 3 for 78. Shah, the leggy, who's been unlucky with drop catches, 2 off him, 1 from Madison and 1 from Smith. He's got 1 for 126. And Ali, 0 wickets for 74. All right, let's get down to the boundary for Nearmap, Australia's leading provider of aerial imagery and location content, where I believe we've got Nerolee Meadows and the great Brett Lee. Nez.
Yeah, just wonderful scenes down here as Pete Hanscom brought up his first test ton. His family were up out of their seats. His teammates were up out of their seats. Just a huge applause, very much appreciative of what he's been able to do here at the Gabba. And as he walked off, that wonderful rare moment where you get to walk off the ground with not being out and actually just after the ton, and the skipper was there waiting for him with a huge smile on his face. Brett Lee, it's wonderful to see.
Yeah, Nez, you're spot on it. You know, it is such an emotional thing for someone to get their first 5-wicket hauler. In this case, you know, his first 100 in front of his family. There were tears all around, and what a great moment, a very, very special moment for him.
All right, let's talk about the conditions, because there is a bit of cloud cover, as was suggested. So how will this help out the Aussies? Because it certainly wasn't this way yesterday.
Nah, definitely not. But look, you know, Australia now 7 for 377, Hanscom 103, Hazlewood on 8. So that momentum will definitely start to increase now. You'll probably see the run rate go up a little bit. Australia will try and get into the next gear. The pitch still looks an absolute beautiful wicket. It's a great wicket to bowl on once the cloud goes down. So the sun's down, the clouds are coming out. Give it to Mitchell Starc later on tonight and we'll see fireworks.
He'll have a smile on his face, that's for sure. Brett Lee, thanks for your time.
Pleasure.
Thanks, Bing, and thanks to Nez down there on the boundary line for Nearmap. All right, always great to introduce this man. He's a Victorian. Get him up here. I want to cuddle him. Mervyn Hughes, how are you, big boy?
Yep, going very well. How exciting was that today?
Well, it was a great test session, wasn't it? We saw 100, we saw 4 wickets, we saw some attacking batsmen, but Riaz got a bit of fire about him. He's got 4 for 66 now, and he got the wicket there of Madison, and also got the wicket of the
Smith,
the Australian captain.
Yeah, listen, he bowled really well. For mine, though, I don't think the Pakistanis as much got wickets as the Australians got themselves out. They were all sort of fanning at balls, shortish and whitish outside off stump. And that was from Smith to Madison to Wade and then to Starc, who was caught at first slip. All caught behind the wicket. Yes, the ball was in the right area, but I think it was more the batting than the bowling that actually got the wickets. And for mine, Shah has been the unlucky one. He's had 2 missed chances today. He's bowled 10 overs. He's got none for 29. And on the first day or first session of the second day, if you are to make inroads, you've got to hold your catches. And those 2 drop catches, they were crucial for Pakistan. Although they've got themselves back in the game, 7 for 377, the Australians are still way ahead. I reckon rule of thumb, win the toss, bat through the first day, make more than 300. and you're ahead of the game.
Mark Howard, Murph Hughes, Ash the Chua Chew Man back in stats as Triple M rocks Test cricket for the very first time here. Australia 7 for 377 at the shorter of the two breaks. There'll be a lot of discussion. There'll be articles written, I guarantee you, in tomorrow's paper about Nick Maddison. He had a tough spell out there. He was out there for about 20 deliveries, gave a couple of chances, feathered one through to the keeper in the end. Looked a little bit nervous, Merv.
Looked nervous. And I suppose with Renshaw and with Hanscom doing so well, a little bit of added pressure on him. He's been knocking on the door. I suppose people have been talking about him now for about 3 or 4 years. He's been great in all forms of the game. I would like to see him, like Hanscom, play his own game. He looked tentative, he looked defensive, where when he does well for New South Wales, he's the aggressor, he's on the attack and he's looking to play shots. And the ball he got out on, I'm not sure if he wanted to leave it, but was forced through natural instinct to play at it. But it looked like one of those ones he decided to let go and then, I'll push at it, and got himself out. When you're in two minds, you doubt yourself. And I think it's natural for most young guys, when they move up a grade, to doubt themselves. You're not going to have that confidence instilled. And now, it would have been good to see him bat with Smith. That would have been a bit of familiarity for him. And I think batting with Hanscom, listen, Hanscom's a great player, but Maddison and Smith obviously played a lot together for New South Wales.
Rumblings out of the Australian camp is Stevie Smith was very keen to get Nick Maddison in the side, but it just shows you how tough Test cricket is. On the flip side of that equation, Pete Hanscom comes into the side, batted well in his first Test, and he's come out here and made 100. He did some hard yards at the start of his innings yesterday, Merv. The last hour here yesterday when the Pakistanis were really on song, he managed to keep them out and took full toll today. He just looks like a wonderfully composed, confident Test batsman.
He does. He's got his own technique, hasn't he? He's mostly back and pushing the ball, squirting the ball square. And then to move from 91 to 97, he gets down the wicket and hits over the top, where he's been sort of held back in the crease by the leg spinner Shah. So he's got his own game sorted out. And that's what you've got to have belief in and confidence in, that you got here playing the way you've played. You don't need to change things. And I think that's where Maddison's fallen into a bit of a hole. Hanscom's been great, and also Renshaw. Let's not forget Renshaw at the top of the order. Warner gets out for 30-odd. He goes on and makes 71, has a 100 partnership with Smith, and they set the Australian innings up. And from there, Hanscom's come in. And, yeah, under the spotlight last night, I reckon, because we expected the ball to do a lot more, to get through that last session with Smith last night, and then to go on this morning, it's been exceptional. And of Hanscom, I will say he's an old-style type player playing the modern game. So he's batted a session there and made 39 runs. So let's not forget that. So yep, he's worked hard to get his runs. It hasn't come easy for him. And with that, he hasn't thrown it away from the pressure that Pakistan have put on him. And with wickets falling around you, second test match, it would have been easy for him to panic a bit, but he's just stayed in control, and I really like the way he's gone about it.
That's the voice of the great Mervyn Hughes on Triple M rocking test cricket for the very first time. So the Australians 7 for 377 at the short break. Peter Hanscom not out, 103. Josh Hazlewood not out for 8. The wickets to fall in that session: Smith for 130, Maddison for 1, Wade for 7, and Mitchell Starc the last to go for 10. Australia 7 for 377.
So, I feel like a curry. Would you be into coming out to dinner? He's going to be facing up to Big Merv, who's on a hat-trick. In he comes. Oh, and he's got it! Good ball! Hughes gets the hat-trick! And listen to the crowd! Just listen to Bo Laurie. Would you be into coming out to dinner? Tries to smash that one straight down the pitch. The ball's literally buried right in the middle of Big Merv's big guts. And that's where it stayed.
Buried in his guts. That's the best caught and bowled you would ever want to see, my friend. Mervyn Hughes, a magnificent reflex catch to take his hat-trick on the Melbourne cricket ground. And the crowd's gone wild. The Australian team's gone wild. It's a great day for Victoria, a great day for Australia. It's a great day for the world, and it's a great day for the great man, Mervyn Hughes, the hero of the MCG. I love him. I want to book him. Get him up here.
And Merv will be joining us very, very shortly on Triple M Cricket. Mark Howard with you. And the Pakistanis, after a difficult session, they lost the wicket of Ali, caught Khawaja, bowled Starc for 5. Aslam is not out 3, and he's been joined by his first drop, Azam, who's not out on 5. Pakistan at 1 for 20. Earlier on, it was a wonderful innings by Pete Hanscom, who made 105 and 49 they put on for the last wicket. So the Australians are in good shape here as the big man that Bill Laurie, aka the 12th man, wanted to get up here, Merv Hughes, is in the box. Hello, Merv.
Hello, Howie. How are you, right?
Good. We're going to speak cricket a little bit later and analyse what's been going on here, but we did this with Kerry O'Keefe yesterday where we got him in and had a bit of a chat about the life of times, and we're going to do that with you today, Merv, which I've been looking forward to all day. How'd you find out you were going to play your first test match for Australia?
Just playing against India. So we had a tour match. Victoria played India at the MCG. Coming off the ground, I think, on the Sunday night, so the third day of the game, there was a big sort of media throng. And Stephen Quatermain, I think it was, from Channel 10.
Quarters.
Just sort of wondered what was going on. Walked off the ground. I was batting with Ray Bright. We sort of walked off the ground. And I said, oh, can we have a chat to you? What about, oh, you've been picked for the next test in Adelaide. And you sort of walk in a little bit bewildered, just not sure how to feel. So I sort of got downstairs and just sat there, and the Victorian boys had heard the news, so they were pretty excited for me and just sort of soaked it up for 20 minutes. Had to go back out and then had to talk to the media later on after the game.
You went into that first test match against India, 1 for 123 on debut, and Merv, I don't like to say it, you got dropped straight away. How was that first test experience? Did you feel like you were up to that level or not?
No, long way from it. There's not too many guys that come into test cricket and grab it by the scruff of the neck. There's a few that, like Mark Waugh, 100 on debut, Wayne Phillips, 100 on debut. A few bowls go really well. But I just felt we'd played India the week before and I'd bowled okay there. And I thought same sort of game plan going into Adelaide. And it was just a different game altogether. And I just found, like, the physical side was one thing, but the mental strain of it just... being up and being alert and having to concentrate that hard for the whole day. I just found it pretty tough. And like you said, 1 for 123 at the end of the test match. Got told by Bob Simpson. It was his first game as coach and a selector. Got tapped on the shoulder as the game finished and said, you won't be playing the next test match. And you sit there I sat there and literally wondered if I'd ever play another test match because I'd fallen that far short.
I was talking to Dean Jones. I do a little podcast, Merv, called The Howie Games. You can check it out on iTunes. And Dino said when he first came into that Victorian side, I think he might have debuted alongside you. And
in a one-dayer in Adelaide?
Maybe Simon O'Donnell. He was talking about one of his first Shield experiences where he went out at the Wacker and made 40-odd and he came back in and Ray Bright sat the team down and said, I want to talk about this, Dean, he's 47, not out, etc., etc. Dean, can you all give Dean a clap? And then Dean felt a bit embarrassed and was sitting in the corner. And then Ray Bright said, I'm clapping you because it's the worst innings I've ever seen a Victorian batsman play. How tough was cricket in those days?
It was a different game. I think I remember my first game in the Victorian team. Got in and just excited, got off the plane. We go to the Adelaide Oval, just grabbed my bag, walked upstairs, put my bag down in a spot in the room and got quite comfortable, and a few other blokes sort of came in and gave me a bit of a look, and John Scholes, who was captain of the Victorian side at that stage, just walked up and said, what are you doing? I said, he said, mate, there's blokes that have played cricket for 10 years, just get out, wait your turn.
Right.
So I literally packed the bag up, sat outside, came back in, and there was this crappy little spot in the corner, and I reckon I sat there for the next 20 years. Because that was my spot.
I remember photos of you in your early Shield days, pre-moustache.
Yes.
And you and I had a... you texted me during the Big Bash last year when I declared Jake Lehman had the best moustache in Australia. You're on the phone, and then I had to do a radio interview with you the next day on your show, and you berated me. When did you first grow the moustache?
1985. So I played a few Shield games, played 4 years of Shield cricket without a moustache, and...
You looked bizarre in those photos with no mo.
Just young.
Just very young.
So 1985, normally played football, Aussie rules football, during the winter. And I'd come out of a couple of seasons with a crook left ankle. And you can carry it playing football, but as a fast bowler, right arm fast bowler, your landing foot, I couldn't carry it. So I was really struggling with that. So I thought, give myself a chance, I wouldn't play footy. And I thought, if I hang around at home, I'm going to end up playing footy. And one of the mates from Werribee, Gavin Whiting, was going on a trip around Australia, and I just rang him up and said, can I plod along with you? So he just jumped in the car, and 5 months away, and did a lot of sort of fitness training when we were away. Got back to got back home, I reckon mid-August, mid to late August, and went straight into a state pre-season and was probably the fittest and the strongest that I'd been, and started the season with a bang and got my first test that year. But on that trip, grew a beard, full beard, didn't have a haircut, didn't have time, so we're just travelling around, no razors. Got home, had a mop of hair, had a huge beard, and went to the hairdressers, got the hair trim, the beard trim, and she left this moustache, and I thought, oh, that looks good. I'll leave that on for a bit of a piss take for a couple of weeks, and here we are, 30 years later.
Had it the whole time?
Had it the whole
and
time,
and it's become synonymous with you. Other things that have been synonymous with you in cricket, and there's been discussion about sledging, and we've heard it today. Triple M's actually got a comp going, Merv, to give tickets to day one of the Boxing Day test at the MCG. Texas, your best cricket sledge to 197-19-777. That's 197-19-777 for the chance to win. A chance for you to take a mate to the biggest day on the cricket calendar. Only costs 55 cents. If you live in a state, Triple M will look after flights and accommodation. Your best cricket sledge, 197-19-777. You've apparently delivered a few in your time. Alan Border used to call you fruit fly because you were such a pest. It was Jarvan Miander.
Biggest pest in Australia.
Biggest pest in Australia. Yes. I'm familiar with one with Jarvan Miander, yes. Whether you want to tell us about that now, but that goes down in history as one of the cricket sledges that always gets brought up at these type of events.
Yeah, it does. I mean, and playing against Pakistan, we had a rule that we couldn't go at Jarvan Miander or Imran Khan because they were good players and they loved the conflict in the game. So you tended not to go verbally at them. So you kept the pressure on through the intensity of the performance rather than the emotional side of it. And as the game turned out, we had Pakistan under a bit of trouble. And Jarvan Miander came out and I had a couple of wickets. So I wanted to get a bit chatty, but Alan Border from second slip wouldn't allow it. And then Jarvan Miander was sort of having a bit of a go at me. He started calling me a bus driver. Or a bus driver, usual fat bus driver. Tall fat will be playing cricket.
A bus driver.
This went on for a few overs, and eventually I went around the wicket, bounced him, and he gloved it to Gully, got him out, and basically just ran past me. As I ran past him, flicked my hand outside and said, tickets please, Jarvan. So most of the sledges, I reckon that the real good sledges are the ones that really humiliate the opposition players and make your teammates laugh. And they're ones where you can go into the rooms after the game, have a drink with an opponent and have a laugh about it. I didn't expect that. And, you know, probably well documented over today's broadcast, not so sure about yesterday's, that James Brayshaw and myself.
Yes.
James was a very good batsman for South Australia, and that gets overlooked.
Well, he talks himself down the whole time.
Oh, he does, and he is a very good, and probably in my time of playing, one of the unluckiest players not to play Test cricket, but very, very good player, and I used to give it to him all the time. And people say, why did you sledge him so much? I said, because he batted for long times against Victoria. So you gave a good opportunity to get into him. But I reckon after about 6-7 years of just not wanting to know him, not liking him, didn't like the way he looked, didn't like the way he walked, didn't like the way he batted, didn't like the way he breathed. Basically,
didn't
just
like the way he breathed.
just giving it to him. And at the MCG one day, bounce him and give him a verbal, and he's just, Merv, I've had this crap for 8 years. Why don't you just shut up and play cricket? And when you find out that it's not having an effect on someone, you just shut up. So you're trying to intimidate, and ultimately, it's just bluff and bullcrap, isn't it? So if batsmen are more worried about what you're doing and saying than what they're doing, then you've had a win. And I remember taking beers into James that night, just sat down, had a beer with him, and that was it. I don't think I ever sledged him after that.
You had some amazing Ashes 89 with AB, where you the 4X and you had the foam on your mow in the photographs. In 93, you took 31 wickets and pretty much won the Ashes for Australia single-handed. So you had a wonderful Test career. But
Didn't rate Shane Warne's 34 wickets?
Well, yeah, I thought yours were pretty good, Merv. You had a busted knee. I think we had other bowlers out, and you went hammer and tong. But nowadays, funnily enough, kids and the 15, 16-year-olds come up to you. They don't know you played cricket. They know you as the bloke that went in, I'm a celebrity, get me out of here. They don't have a clue you even played cricket, Merv.
Now, this funny little thing now here called Google. Apparently, it's pretty good. I don't know how to get on it myself.
Right.
But apparently, it's pretty good. It's got some details. But
how was that experience in the jungle?
Yeah, it was a good experience. To be asked to do it, a 6-week camping trip with 10 people you don't know and no luxuries. You're just thinking, mate, I was 53, 54 at the time. I thought, I don't really need this. And people talking about why they do it for, to get themselves out of the comfort zone and to do it for charity, and that's all great, but if we weren't getting paid good money, you wouldn't have done it.
Right.
And that's the bottom line.
Was it difficult? From the bits I saw, you were always asleep, Merv. Every time I turned on, you were asleep.
No, I had a big run in. A big run into it. Had a big lead in.
Right.
I reckon for about a month. I just thought I'm going to miss out on everything, so I'm going to woof into it. And Barry Hall was on. And as you get older, Howie, I reckon you'd appreciate this. You don't meet too many people that impress you a hell of a lot. And Barry Hall on that was fantastic. To spend some time with him, you could see how the guys at Sydney got right behind him. And when he went to the Western Bulldogs, I had a few of the guys there that I knew pretty well. And they just said, mate, he's a fantastic leader. He leads by example, doesn't take any crap. And that was the same way he was in the jungle. And to spend time with Andrew Dutta, he was great. He had the TV side of things worked out. And said, just remember, it's a TV show. It's not life or death. If you don't want to do anything, don't do it. Okay? And Chrissy Swan was on there, and you know, she's been big everywhere from Big Brother. She's on radio all the time now. And to spend a bit of time with her and get to know her, mate, she's a great woman too. And Joel Creasy and just the other guys. Just got to know people from total different backgrounds. And if I hadn't done that, I wouldn't have the opportunity to spend time with them, meet them and appreciate what they have to offer.
Merv, you've been a superstar for Australian cricket. You've been a superstar in life in general. Everyone loves you, and it's a pleasure to have you on Triple M Test Cricket throughout the summer. Good on you, mate.
Mate, it's great to be on board. It's a great team we've got together, I reckon. So Brad McNamara, Buzz, has done a fantastic job just getting this team together and really enjoy it. To see Kerry O'Keefe back on air, it's fabulous, isn't it?
Yeah, it certainly is, and you've dropped in the executive producer to make sure your next paycheck's coming, so you've done brilliantly there,
yeah,
Merv.
Yeah.
Now, time to get down to a couple of superstars on the ground. The Triple M Pitch Report for California Sports Services. California Sports Services, world-class services for schools, homes and clubs. They do a wonderful job, so if you need a wicket, etc., get on to California Sports Services. We'll go down on ground to Neroli Meadows and the big man that used to bowl fast, Brett Lienez.
I tell you what, he's geared up to go again as well. He's marking his run out, his run up, he's warming up. He's loving life down here, Brett Lee. You've seen the pitch. What do you think?
Yeah, look, I've been really impressed with this wicket. I think that Kevin Mitchell Jr. has prepared an absolute beautiful test wicket. A couple of things, though, Nez, I have noticed. Firstly, coming here from the Vulture Street end, where the bowler lands, his front foot, it's getting quite deep now, so you might see bowlers as the game goes on, either one try to fill that hole or two go wide the crease. And secondly, from the other end, the Stanley Street end, where the left arm bowlers have been coming through in their first stride where they land, there's a lot of rough now being created. Mitchell Stark's a big boy, he's got big feet. Nathan Lyon's going to love this, so he'll definitely come into play. Two things I've noticed, but the wicket looks absolutely beautiful.
Nathan Lyon does love Mitch Stark's footprints. He certainly talks about it often, that bit of rough. Now, Brett, the cloud cover, it's been around all day, but it certainly is building. How will that help the Aussies?
That's why I'm excited down here and was marking up my run-up, because, look, the conditions now to bowl are perfect. It's overcast. You know, the sun's almost gone. There's a beautiful breeze coming across. It's not too hot. And with that pink ball, you're going to see a lot of fireworks tonight. You'll see Mitchell Stark go to that next level. He'll change gears now. He will hit 150 tonight. Breeze is coming, as I mentioned. So hopefully for Australia's point of view, they can take some wickets.
Now, for mine, the highlight of that second session was Jackson Bird just going whack and hitting a six. As a crick who loved to have a six here and there, have a big hit here and there, you must have enjoyed that moment, surely.
Oh, absolutely. Jackson Bird, and, you know, there was a lot of talk that he can't bat. This guy can bat. He batted beautifully. He's got a great defence. But that hook shot off a fast bowler against, the breeze or the wind, to carry the rope and go for six, there's nothing more, I guess, frustrating as a fast bowler running in, bowling the bumper and then getting hooked for six. But Jackson Bird, well done.
I love the fact that he just tipped the hat afterwards as though he meant it.
Oh, yeah, Nathan Lyon as well, you know, playing the hook shot. So, but look, that, in all seriousness, was a great partnership. That really got Australia onto, I guess, the front foot, kept that momentum. And we've seen at 1 for 20, they've come out and Australia have bowled well. But Nez, they've bowled well because they've pitched the ball up.
Now, Howie, I can tell you we've had a look at the radar and there is no rain near Brisbane, so that is indeed good news for this final session.
Thanks very much, Nez. We appreciate your time down there. You've done a wonderful job speaking to Mickey Arthur earlier on today and, of course, Brett Lee as well. Great to hear from those guys down there doing a wonderful, wonderful job. All boundary reports for Nearmap, Australia's leading provider of aerial imagery and location content. Neroli Meadows and Brett Lee down there. Gus Warland joins us, the man that dominates on the grill team on Triple M. in Sydney, as well as hosting a couple of wonderful cricket shows on Fox a few years ago where he travelled the world, India, England and the West Indies doing cricket. How are you, Big Gussie?
Matt, I feel fantastic. And as Merv said when you were having a chat with him, could have listened to that all day, Merv. You've got so many wonderful stories. But, yeah, just being a part of the cricket here and the way that we're doing it on Triple M is fantastic. And we're about to sit here now, another twilight session, which we had last night. The Australians did so well. Will Pakistan do quite as well as that? But I love seeing the Milo cricketers, guys and girls, little kids with their mums and dads and coaches running around the outfield here at the Gabba. That's what cricket to me is all about. So I'm very excited about what's going to happen in the next couple of hours.
Can I tell you about my Milo cricket experience where my kids are in Victoria at this very moment? My young bloke, he's 4 years of age. Changed, his name is Mac, Merv, but 2 years ago woke up and said, "Dad, I've changed my name to the Big Penguin and will only answer to the name the Big Penguin." Well, he won't be listening at the moment. It's his birthday next week, the Big Penguin. He's turning five, and I was proud. I went down to Rebel Sport and bought him his first Grey Nichols.
Oh, well played.
As my beautiful partner Erica calls it, the Gary Nichols, because she doesn't understand cricket that well. But I bought him the Grey Nichols, and it was all wrapped up for his birthday, ready to go next week. He goes to Milo Cricket last week. They give him a cricket set with Stumps ball and the size 3 buffalo. He comes home, "Dad, I got a new bat."
No,
how good is this?
No.
So any suggestions what I can get the Big Penguin? But there's something I wanted to bring up with you, gentlemen. There's a cricket game that took place, you won't be aware of this, in South Africa overnight. A T20 game in Pretoria. Under-19 female game.
Yes.
And there was a young lady by the name of Shania Lee Stewart who was batting for Mpulunga.
Shania Twain.
It was Shania Lee Stewart. Okay. So she was lining up for Mpulunga.
Pulunga. Where exactly is Pulunga?
That's just west
north of
Mpulunga. No, it's not. It's in eastern South Africa, near Durban.
Okay.
Wonderful part of the world. So her side made 169. Now, let me run you through the batting order. The number Swanepoel opened made 0. Number 3 made 0. Number 4 made 0. Number 5 made 0. 6, 7, 8, 9 made 0. 10 was not out, 0. They made 169 because this young lady with a surname Swart made 160 not out off 86 balls at a strike rate of 186.
You're kidding.
They knocked together 169. She contributed 160 and there were 9 extras.
Win or lose the game?
Well, they went on and won the game thanks to her twofer when she took the new ball move.
Stop it.
Who do you reckon got player of the match?
Well, she
now,
got...
To get 160, one would think someone's had a long time to make a duck at some stage of that.
Yes.
Game. Well, it was only a T20 game.
But is there a duck there with how many deliveries? So someone might have faced 38 balls while she got 80 runs.
Well, no, the most anyone faced was Swanepoel, who was run out by Moim for 0, who faced 10 balls. The rest of them, 7 balls, 1 ball, 9 ball, 2 balls, 3, 1, 1 and 3. So she did farm the strike.
Well, she likes the strike. She can count to 6, can't she, Merv?
That's a good start. That's a good. That's extraordinary. I saw that scorecard this morning and pointed it out, and you said you'd already seen it, but to make 160 of 169 where no one else has made a score, you sit there scratching your head, that's not possible.
No, it's remarkable.
It really is quite incredible.
It's the most remarkable innings I've ever seen on a scoreboard.
What about this little Milo kid here when you guys were talking, I was looking over your shoulder, Merv, this little kid. It's getting bowled by this really big kid. Full banger on a leg stump, and the little kid has just tonked him out of the ground. And the crowd down here is absolutely nuts, as if he'd won the Ashes for Australia. It was just a moment I imagine that kid will never forget.
Yeah, well done to the Milos. And if anyone's out there got a young kid that needs a size 2 Gary Nichols, let me know, because I'm probably sure.
Can we go back to the fact that your son won't be called by a name, which is a very cool name?
Big Penguin.
He wants to be
big
called penguin. The Big Penguin.
The only way rolls.
He couldn't go with the Big Mac?
Big Penguin.
Big Mac.
And
I like
just,
Big Mac.
It's not
so
just
do
penguin.
I. Might
how
many,
Mac.
This, don't worry I about your kid.
Call
for
me
a
Big Mac from now on.
Howie, you're out of this conversation.
Okay.
Howie has to run around the shower to get wet, so you're out of it. Right?
You two don't.
That's correct. Okay, Big Macs. How many in a sitting could you have the Merv, and do you have chips with it?
Yeah, no. We used to get McDonald's Cup when they sponsored the one day. We used to get vouchers.
Oh yeah.
So buy one get one free.
Yep.
And I on the way home from Ocean Grove one Christmas, I may have bought five of them.
Five?
So you get five free. So probably
you had 10?
Ten?
Yeah.
10 Come
Mac.
On,
so hey, you're not going fries with that then. It must be just 10 burgers or?
Well, yeah, there was no freebies.
That's 20 patties.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Now,
that's a lot of specials.
You got to try something. Now,
that's
the thing that we used to do, now, the thing, and that's
on the sesame seed bun.
Correct.
I hope some of the boys down at wherever you hear this, and they might be able to text in, but we had the challenge at McDonald's with a Big Mac.
Mm.
You have to do a Big Mac in one bite. Now, people say it's impossible. Okay. It wasn't that hard getting into your gob, but the hard part was chewing it with four or five other blokes laughing at you.
Absolutely.
It used to come out your nose, your ears, your eye sockets, just come out everywhere.
But you got it done.
Oh, yeah.
We're well not played. Sponsored by McDonald's on Triple M Rock and Test Cricket, hey, but by gee, we might be after that segment.
So they get through. Should have been nine down. The misstumping from Matty Wade, but hats off to Safraz Ahmed's batted really well. 31 not out. Amir's held up his end, 8 not out. And we finished day two with Australia in a commanding position at 8 for 97.
Australia totally dominant here tonight. There's no doubt about it. They're looking at each other now. They're giving the big man hugs. They're loving it out there. Matty Wade looking a little bit disappointed, and rightly so. Missed the stumping then, that second last over. But Australia absolutely dominant. Did beautifully with the bat. We saw Hansom get his first 100, which was brilliant. And, of course, Steve Smith, 130. Then come out here, and Mitchell Starc just sets the scene. First couple of overs, knock someone over, then everyone else chips in. And Jackson Bird under pressure, so that he always seems to be with his position for some reason. He got some runs, and then he got himself a couple of wickets. So Australia right on top.
It's such a cliche, but we always talk about partnerships, and certainly Hazelwood was involved there with Starc at the top. And he was probably looking the most potent out of them all. He hit Sami Aslam a couple of times on the helmet. Well-directed bounces and just used it wisely along with those really good length deliveries that was just causing her a few problems, especially in these conditions with the night, atmospheric conditions and a bit of nibble off the pitch and the moisture around. So Australia will feel absolutely chuffed with the way they've played today, because they lost a few wickets there in the afternoon session, and then that dominant kind of tail end 49 between Bird and Lyon really kind of just built their momentum back into that evening session. So, for the first test of the series, this is the best way they could have started.
Let's take Channel 9's interview with Mark Taylor and Pete Hanscom.
Centurion with me, Peter Hanscom. Great day for Australia, particularly good one for you.
Obviously a great day for the team. The bowlers to come out like that and in a session to really break the back of the Pakistani team here and put us in a hell of a position has been awesome. But obviously it was great to also get my first 100 as well.
Well, come on, mate. Let's go back about a month. You know, if I'd said to you, you're going to score your maiden test century today with a gorgeous cover drive, would you have believed it?
Nah, probably not, to be perfectly honest. It's just nice to be here and have this opportunity to do it, which is awesome, and to get out here, and it's just nice. It's so good.
And mum's there, your girlfriend there, all the players are on their feet. Watching that bit of footage must be special. It must give you a few little tingles.
Yeah, that's the first time I've watched it back, so it feels pretty cool. Obviously, having mum and Sarah here has been amazing as well.
And no nervous 90s. A six to go from 91 to 97, and then the four. Planned or just happened?
A little bit planned. I've been waiting for Yessir to throw one up, and they brought the field up, so I was like, why not give it a go? It was meant to go for a couple of bounces for a four, but luckily enough, it came out of the middle and went over the boundary, which is awesome. And then, it was the 100 ball was exactly where I wanted it. It was sort of in my head. I planned that the ball was going to be there, and it was, so it was great.
And then one for 20, I think Pakistan were at the dinner break, and you've come out and you've taken six wickets. Terrific lead. Now, what does tomorrow bring?
Yeah, obviously the bowlers have been great. I think tomorrow is just about getting those first two wickets as quickly and as cheaply as we can, first and foremost. And then it's just about batting and batting big again and really setting ourselves up for a good win here, hopefully.
Well, mate, well done. Congratulations on being the newest test centurion for Australia. Mate, congratulations. Peter Hanscom.
Cheers, mate. Thank you.
Thanks to the Nine Network. Mark Taylor down there with a very, very happy man. And we're not far away from getting down to Neroli Meadows as well. We hope she has Josh Hazelwood, but fine performance.
What is it about the Gabba? Look, we play so well here.
If we played South Africa here,
you feel that we could have levelled the series if we'd just forgotten Hobart like most map makers of Australia do. Like there's something about this ground, isn't there?
There certainly is. There's no doubt about it. We play very well here. We've got a very good record here. And interesting the ear there from Peter. Obviously such a quality young man. We've heard about so many people that know him well, saying what a good guy he is, gets his 100. And he was saying there, JB, that he believes Australia will bat again and bat Pakistan out of it rather than the follow-on.
The way they've been going about it, I don't agree with it, especially when you've only bowled 42 overs, but it's all about bowler preservation, a bit like we were talking about before. They're so concerned about loading bowlers that they'd prefer to bat them out of the game. It'll help the Brisbane crowd. They'll see more cricket.
It might have been different if they'd bowled them out this evening. They would have stuck them back in again with the conditions. Perhaps if it happens tomorrow, they've got the batting deck. It would have quickened up even more. Lovely day for them to just pile on a few more runs, maybe. I don't know.
There is some weather around. If you look at the Brisbane weather, and I always look at sort of days 4 and 5 when it comes to test matches, there's sort of 70% chance of rain. I don't like hearing that, especially in the Brisbane area, because it doesn't mind thunderstorming. Yeah. There's no doubt about that. So I wouldn't mind just knocking them over again and winning this tomorrow.
Nearly Meadows is down on the ground. Who you got down there, Nez?
Josh, you look like you're having all sorts of fun out there, even on a hat-trick at one point. Talk us through that.
Yeah, it was pretty exciting, obviously getting two in a row, caught behind, and then it was quite loud for the hat-trick ball. It's not the first time I've been on a hat-trick for a test match, but it was definitely the loudest and a few goosebumps, but didn't get it in the end.
You're now just 3 shy of the 100 test wicket mark. It's amazing stuff, considering you're still pretty young.
Yeah, still quite young. It's come along pretty quickly. Been fortunate enough, only missed one test match since I debuted, so pretty lucky in that regard, and hopefully get a couple more in the morning.
And what about where this one is positioned? Do you think you can wrap it all up tomorrow?
We'll see. It's obviously a little bit different bowling at night than during the day, so we'll sum that up. Hopefully take 2 quick wickets tomorrow and see where we're at.
Peter Hanscom, an amazing ton in just his second test. Are you really pleased with the way that the youngsters have stepped up?
Yeah, it's been great. It's been great to watch them over the last few weeks, and Pete especially looked pretty comfortable on debut, and then today to get his 100, and for me to be out there was pretty exciting as well, so he's been on fire.
All right, let's have a bit of fun. Gary Lyon, though, we're loving him out here. The bold Gary has become just like the bold Warnie almost.
Yeah, I think he's definitely a crowd favourite. You get the nice Gary as well everywhere he goes, so yeah, it's got some legs definitely the last few weeks.
And just finally, Jackson Bird 6. Can you tell us, did you enjoy that? Surely, you got a massive smile on your face.
Yeah, all the guys are down in the sheds. Obviously getting ready because we're thinking we're coming out pretty soon. But Jackson hooked one there for 6 and, it was pretty fun in the sheds.
Thanks for spending some time with us on Triple M. And it's great to see the boys really enjoying their test cricket again.
No worries, thanks. Cheers.
Josh Hazlewood down there with Nearly Meadows. He does a fantastic job. 11 overs, 3 for 19. And as you heard, on a hat-trick as well. So he and Mitch Stark, Jackson Bird with 2 for 7, Nathan Lyon unlucky later on. Brett Lee, you've just joined us in commentary. The bowling performance, very good.
Yeah, absolutely. Hazlewood cracked it open tonight, 3 for 19, 11 overs bowl, 1 maiden, but it was just his length, JB. He just put the ball up there on the length. He had a good short ball to back it up, but I tell you what, when he gets his length right, he's so hard to play, and he's been backed up so well with Mitchell Stark and obviously Bird as well.
Already heard Pete Hanscom say in the interview with Mark Taylor that we grabbed from Channel 9 that most likely they will do what they've done a lot of recently, and that's elect to bat, even though they're so far ahead in the game.
Yeah, look, I think that if they would have got these 2 wickets tonight, they would have definitely bowled tomorrow. I think now what will probably happen overnight, they'll have a discussion. Look, we are playing a fair bit of cricket this series. Tomorrow maybe get the 2 early wickets, go and have a bat, you know, put on another 150 or so, and then try and dob in Pakistan and knock them over.
Bingo, when you're in the team like that, do they look at the weather, especially up in Brisbane, do they look at the weather and the forecast and say, you know what, we may not get a lot of day 4 and 5, let's use the day 3. They've got no cricket if they knock them over in the next day or two until Boxing Day. Surely that's a big enough rest for these bowlers who, as JB said, have only bowled 43 overs.
Yeah, they do. They also look at the bowlers' faces too, you know, whether the boys are jumping in the ice bath, if they're stretching, if they're cramping, what's going on. So they do take that into consideration, but I think the weather's a very, very valid point here. If it looks as though there is a bit of rain around, which there is on the forecast, get them back in as soon as possible.
It's staggering that the discussion even happens, isn't it? I mean, 15 years ago in 4 and 5 day cricket, if you bowl a team out and you're 320 in front, there would not even be a consideration of you ever batting in that situation.
Straight back in.
I would just be, but as well as anything be, it's about keeping that mental dominance over this batting lineup. The last thing, Aslam, Ashar Ali, Azam, Yunus Khan, Misbah Al-Haq, the last thing they want to do is bat again.
Yeah, and it just sets the tone, doesn't it? It just says that Australia's dominating, Pakistan are under the pump here. Go and have another bat.
Yeah.
It's almost like, you know what, we're going to shove this in your face. Go back and have another stick.
And sending him 500. I mean, that's what we're looking at. If we go out and get 150 tomorrow, we're basically, I mean, that's just ridiculous, isn't it? It's ungettable.
No, but it's all about just trying to protect your bowlers from having to bowl 150 overs in 2 blocks, I guess. But I'm with B. For me, it's much more about if you've got these blokes on the ropes, don't let them off.
No, definitely.
His top five just really hammered into him.
Absolutely. They've been pathetic. We spoke about it. That's a pathetic performance, 8 for 97. A little bit of fight there at the end by Ahmed, but they're pathetic. And they were pathetic in New Zealand. They lost 9 wickets in the last session to lose that test match. Just drive it into them. Let's win this 1-0 and move on with
it. We thank Josh Hazlewood for Nearmap, of course, Australia's leading provider of aerial imagery and location content. Stuart, stats wrap for today.
Yeah, thanks a lot, JB. So, yeah, just recapping, Pete Hanscom, 105, his first century in his career, short career today. Lyon and Bird put on 49 with that 10th wicket partnership, which saw Australia all out for 429. But just with Pakistan, last 23 overs of play, they lost 7 for 54. Yunus Khan out for a golden duck. That's his fourth golden duck in his career, JB.
Thanks for that. Thanks, Jules.
Thank you, JB.
Julian Schiller. Gus Wallen, very nicely handled again today. Brett Lee, you're a superstar. In fact, all three of you are. We'll take our final break here and say goodbye. But a barnstorming day for Australia. 429 with the bat and then 8 for 97. They have Pakistan. So the game is in Australia's hands. We'll be 1:30 if you're in Melbourne, Sydney. And 12:30 local time, back on air tomorrow. So thank you for your company, and remember, Triple M rocks Test cricket.
Triple M is the new home of Test match cricket. And the one game we look forward to the most? Boxing Day at the Triple MCG.
I mean, it's an honour to be involved.
We're so bloody excited.
We're giving away tickets.
Including flights and accommodation.
You beauty!
To win,
keep listening to the first test on Triple M.
This is going to be a cracking series.
If you live in Melbourne, no flights for you. We're not that stupid. Triple M.